Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
So here we are back again. You know, we just came from breakfast. You
guys. Oh, it was a huge breakfast.
We went.
Massive.
We went to breakfast. You do not know fun until you watch these guys eat.
That's true.
It is. I mean, people pay for that kind of entertainment.
They do.
Halleck can put it away, brother.
He did.
I'm not playing games, guys.
He ate his food and half of my food.
It was amazing.
Hey, listen.
This is Revitalize and Replant, and with Mark Clifton. There's Mark Clifton sitting there, and Mark Halleck. I'm Dan Hurst. And one of the things that we've been talking about is these guys are all the time talking about books, recommending books. I mean, Kyle Bierman, who is our producer sitting here with us, he just went and bought another book at the bookstore here.
Two books.
At Midwestern
and
Seminary.
And then he runs around to the faculty offices and asks the faculty to sign them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, he has no shame whatsoever. No. Hi, I just bought this book. Would you sign it for me?
if you're a pastor and you're not expanding your mind,
yeah,
you know, then you're going to get stale. Yeah. I mean, you're just going to get to a point where you're not challenged anymore. And so we thought it'd be interesting to kind of talk about some of the books that we read that have made a difference in our life. And why don't we do this? What book are you reading right now,
okay,
Clifton?
Yeah, Ethel the Aardvark goes. You ask me.
Yeah, that's true.
Ethel
when you've got grandkids.
Ethel the Aardvark goes quantity surveying. Just check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. Google it. You'll find it.
Yeah.
Ethel the Aardvark goes quantity surveying. Anyway, I don't always read books. I listen to books a lot.
Do you?
I am dyslexic. Reading does not particularly come easy to me. I really didn't know that till I got out of seminary. I knew reading didn't come easy. I knew that. Didn't really know I was dyslexic till I got out of seminary. And I always struggled with reading tremendously, both in high school and college and seminary. But I have a really good recall of what I listen to,
mm-hmm,
or what I see, or a video I watch or something. And so, man, I listen to books all the time. I'm always listening to books. Mm. Now, I will read some. Like, I'll read The Puritans because those are the kind of things you want to read it and then reread it.
Yeah, that's
let
right.
it soak, let it marinate. So I enjoy that. So anything by Banner of Truth and those, mm-hmm, kinds of things, reading all the stuff. Thomas Watson, theologian, not the golfer. a Godly Man's Journey and those kinds of things from
Godly Man's Picture.
Godly Man's Picture, from Thomas Watson. Those are really good books, and those are books you have to read rather than listen to, because first of all they're not available audio.
Yeah.
But secondly, you kind of read the page and then you reread it and you just let it
so
marinate.
Rich.
It's so rich.
You can read a sentence,
yeah,
literally, and just stop,
yeah,
and meditate on,
yeah,
it.
So those are, the Puritans are really great to read like that, mm-hmm, and Valley of Vision and those kinds, yeah, of things. But I also listen to books all the time, and I listen to history books. And I think, mm, in my mind, listening to biographies and histories and those kinds of things. And so,
what would be some of your favorite?
Oh man, I heard a great book called The River of Doubt. You got to either read this book or listen to it.
The River of Doubt?
Yes, it was about Theodore Roosevelt after, mm, he lost his presidential. You know, he became president at the death of the president. He was, mm-hmm, vice president, and then he won a term, but he decided not to run again. And when he did, he waited a term, and then he wanted to run again. Mm. So he went back to run again. And he lost, and he's a very interesting character anyway. But he wanted to do something really to get him over his depression, his discouragement, losing the election. And he was always an explorer. So he goes to the Amazon.
Hmm.
And he and his son and this group of men go up a river that has never been navigated. Hmm. And he almost dies. I mean, he gets deathly ill. They didn't, hmm, think he was going to live. And this book is called The River of Doubt. It's about his journey up there and his journey back and how they came out. People don't know that.
Wow.
He was a former president, and he's up in the Amazon, and he's about to die. And they keep daily logs of all this, so it's very well written. And every day he wrote about it when he was traveling. I know I've bored you all already.
No, it sounds super interesting.
It's a really interesting book. It's a historical book, and so I love reading biographies. And so this is called The River of Doubt. It's a great, great book. And then I've been reading a lot about the Second World War, particularly from the Japanese perspective, and a book called Judgment at Tokyo, and it's been a really great book. And anyway, just stuff like that. I really, Our Man in Tokyo, this is a great book. Mm. If you like history, Our Man in Tokyo is about Joseph Grew, who was the U.S. ambassador from like 1930 to 1941. And when the war started, he got, you know, he had to kind of got interned for a few months, so they brought him back home. But an incredible insight into what was taking place in Japan up until the beginning of the Second World War. So I really enjoy those kinds of biographies. They really help shape me, and I enjoy those. But I also enjoy the Puritans a lot. But in terms of a book right now that means a great deal to me personally, it's been Scripture-Based Worship by Joe Kreider. I want you all to get that. Now, you can only
That's a great book.
Yeah,
it's a great book.
You can only get it from Southwestern Seminary. You can't get it from Amazon. You got to get it from the seminary directly. But guys, it is worth getting. You may say, "Well, I'm not a worship pastor." It's for you as a pastor to know how to lead your church in Scripture-based worship. So I really would encourage you to do that. Encourage you to read the Puritans, and encourage you to read biographies and histories. It just stretches your mind. It gives
absolutely.
You. It's just good for you. So, or listen to them as I do. All right, buddy. What do you got?
That's awesome, man. And I agree. I mean,
by the way, it's Ethel the Aardvark goes quantity surveying.
Okay, so here's the deal. So you guys realize I just came off sabbatical. So I had a lot of time to read, and I did, and it was really a fruitful time. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to give you my top six books from sabbatical.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, top six.
We'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah, top six. And honestly, every one of these I highly recommend for different reasons. And so I'm really excited, Dan, about this, to share this list.
Cool.
Can you tell?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's one you've never heard of and never read. You would love it. It's called The Devoted Mind.
Okay.
By Chris Lundgaard.
Yeah.
Chris Lundgaard is kind of a John Owen scholar.
Okay, yeah.
But he writes, if you don't know anything about John Owen, great Puritan theologian, he's well known for his quote, you know, be killing sin or sin will be killing you.
Right.
Mortification of the flesh, that kind of thing. But Chris Lundgaard writes for at a level you can actually understand, because Owen is really tough. Dude, this is the best book I have read in maybe ever, for sure in a long time.
Whoa.
On.
Okay.
On your mind being transformed by the Spirit of God.
And he's a contemporary writer?
He's a contemporary writer. Yeah, yeah. He's
okay,
living.
So he's not a Puritan.
No, he's not.
Not from back then. He's
okay, he's alive. He's alive. The Devoted Mind. And how to... Because, man, that's one of my desires, is like in a world that's just so full. I mean, I'm sure that's true for all of us. I want to fight impure thoughts. I want to fight, you know, selfish thoughts. And this whole book is about how to live out of the Spirit of God in your life to help you live a devoted mind, a mind that is pure, a mind that is holy, a mind that is righteous and honoring to Jesus. So anyway, it's been awesome. Here's the second one. And it's actually where we are. Spurgeon as Pastor. Okay. By Jeff Chang.
Yeah, it's a great book.
It's pure gold.
It's pure gold.
It's pure gold. And so if you've never read it, you need to read this book. You really do. If you don't know Spurgeon, you just need to get familiar with Spurgeon. But Spurgeon is pastor, super practical, just being a faithful shepherd. Third one that I read years ago, Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. And if you've never read that...
Yeah.
You really do need to read it. It will help you form a theology of suffering, not only for yourself, but for your people, if you're a pastor. And, you know, the key that he looks at, the three aspects of God's character, his sovereignty, his love, and his wisdom. And super helpful for me just in processing my own life and thinking about coming back.
Well, hang on a minute. When you're talking about that, how about the Pursuit of Holiness.
Well,
Jerry
that's
Bridges.
Gold. That's gold. This is different. This is Trusting God.
Okay.
When life hurts is the
But
name
then
of it.
Also you Pursuit but, of Holiness.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, the truth is anything Jerry Bridges wrote.
Right. But that's one every pastor should have.
Oh yeah, The Pursuit of Holiness. Yeah. Just get ready to be beat up.
Yep.
You know, just remember the gospel.
Yeah.
Which is why he then wrote The Discipline of Grace, if you remember that.
Yes.
So anyway, Jerry Bridges. Okay, I'm moving through here. Number 4, where are we at? into his presence. You'd love this. Have you heard about this?
I have
Tim
not.
Chester.
I've been too busy reading about World War II.
Well, I know. This is you'll love this because it's a collection of Puritan prayers. It's similar
to
the Valley of Vision.
Really? Okay.
But a new set of prayers.
Okay, so Kyle is typing these in as we go.
Yeah.
And we'll put them in the show notes. Did you get that one?
Into his presence, okay. Tim Chester.
I want to get that.
Oh man, I've been using it devotionally all through.
Really?
You'll love it. If you love Valley of Vision, I know you do. Two more. This is a great one, especially if you're Baptist like me. Sometimes we need to learn from non-Baptists on how to pastor people. And here, this is one of my favorite Lutherans. It's a book called The Care of Souls by Harold Senkbeil, S-E-N-K-B-E-I-L. Faithful Lutheran pastor for many, many years. And, man, you read this book. Again, it almost sounds Puritan-esque. It's about...
Yep.
Fighting the tendency to the temptation of having to build a big church and all these programs and getting back to the basics of loving Jesus and loving people and shepherding souls.
Okay, you have that book, right?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't we plan a podcast coming up where we just look at that book?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Kyle, go ahead and send that book to myself and to
it's really good.
Dan.
Yep.
And then we'll read it, and then we'll do it. We'll look at
that'd
that.
That'd be fun.
That sounds really
dude,
cool.
Dude, you'll love it. You'll love it, seriously.
Okay. Awesome.
And it's a different angle. It's a Lutheran angle. So there's some aspects to it that kind of push in a good way, I think, on our Baptist sensibilities. Here's the last one. And, man, I cannot recommend this enough. Pastors and Their Critics by Joel Beakey and Nick Thompson. And it was just soothing to me, just reflecting on just some tough stuff we've had this past year in our church and some critics. We just recently did a podcast here on cantankerous people. And you're going to meet critics. And if you're like me, man, it sucks the life out of me. It can suck the joy out of me. And so how do I approach my critics in a loving way, in a way that reminds me of who I am in Jesus? And so it's one of the best books. We're giving it to all of our interns, all of our in our church, Pastors and Their Critics, again, by Joel Beakey and Nick Thompson. So there you go, guys. Those are six books that the Lord has used in my life in the last several months, 3, 4, 5 months.
Well, tell me, how often what's your reading schedule?
I try to read a book a week.
A book a week?
I try to read a book a week, yeah. Now, when I say that, now here's the deal. When I say that, I don't always read every book word for word.
I understand that.
Right? Some books I do.
Right.
But, and I try to rotate. So I'm pretty methodical with this, from a theological book to a Christian living book to, you know, a doctrine. There's always a doctrine. So my main doctrine I was trying to focus on over sabbatical was the Trinity.
Okay.
So again, I just don't want to get rusty, right? And so if there are key doctrines that I'm like, man, I need to dive deeper into that, the doctrine of whatever, I'm always trying to read a couple books on that doctrine. But yeah, this is part of it is I love to read, so I enjoy it, but it's also a discipline of just how do we stay, it's what Dan said, how do I stay sharp? I'm just convinced, man, as pastors, I can't give what I don't have. So if I'm not reading and learning and staying sharp, man, that's going to affect our people. So anyway, so that's what I try to do. I don't do it perfectly.
Right.
But that's what I shoot for is one main book a week.
That's really impressive.
Best I can. Now, if it's a huge, like the big books. You're reading big books.
I am reading
long biographies.
Well, biographies.
I can't do that in a week.
Yeah.
But a lot of books these days, thankfully, are actually they're shorter.
Guys, if you've got something, and by the way, my friend Richard Blackaby has written a relatively new book. In fact, I was kind of traveling with him the last couple of years, and when he was really putting this together, so I had the opportunity to kind of he would bounce things around and we'd talk about it. It's called The Ways of God by Richard Blackaby.
Hmm.
And I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a really, really nice read and really comforting and really instructive to a pastor as he talks about how God works. So The Ways of God by Richard Blackaby. But, thing is, with me reading these histories and the biographies and so forth, I find that if I do that, I'm not spending time on social media or watching the news or stuff like that. And it gives you a sense of perspective on history and on people and things like that. And it really feeds your mind. So, guys, I would just encourage you to not waste time scrolling on TikTok and Facebook and Twitter or X or whatever it is. I know we all do it to kind of keep up. But the thing is, you start doing it, then you just keep doing it.
Yeah.
You keep doing
it's
it.
It's like a drug.
It. Yeah. Like a drug. Man, just find a good book and listen to it as a pod. Listen to it on your device as you drive down the road. Put your earphones in and listen to it at home or read if you're home. Spend more time reading and listening to books than you are just looking at the internet.
No, that's a good word.
I mean,
man.
Seriously. I could look at the internet for 45 minutes and go to bed kind of frustrated. My mind's all blown. Or I can listen to a really good book for 45 minutes. I can go to sleep so much easier.
Yeah, amen.
So much better.
That's good.
It's really great. Hey, a couple of other things I want to recommend. We're here in the Spurgeon Library. Mm. And, of course, Spurgeon has written a few things. But two things I have given to pastors and even to my leaders in my church, my deacons and my elders, a little thing called Spurgeon's Checkbook. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of it. Yeah. I've never read it.
It's a white little. They're little tiny sort of.
Huh.
They're even really shorter than devotionals, but they're. You can just get it. It's a little booklet and daily kinds of things and great thought and insight from Spurgeon.
That's cool.
And when I give those, they give those away. They've always been well received. Mm. And then I've also given away morning and evening.
Yeah.
And again, Alistair Begg has written a sort of a morning and evening kind of commentary on it. So I would recommend you get that. I use that pretty regularly. That's been really helpful to me as well. So, yeah, some good stuff that we're reading. And
you know, let me say this too. You know, I say this to pastors all the time. Listen, if you don't have a good study Bible, like I'm just being honest. One of my concerns is I don't know how much Bible a lot of pastors read anymore, on their own. You know what I mean? And I'm convicted of that for my own life. But I mean, like, you know, you just study church history. Pastors knew their Bibles. Mm. Why? Because they read it all the time. They were saturated in it. It's not enough to love the Bible and be pumped about the Bible. You got to read the Bible. And if I'm just being honest, it's okay. Sometimes the Bible can be tough. I have found a good study Bible, ESV study Bible or the CSB study Bible, can be helpful just in reading notes. It's okay to say, man, I don't know what he's talking about, even if you've been to seminary. And sometimes a good study Bible can keep you focused. It can answer questions you might get discouraged by. And it's not just for our lay people. I guess that's my point. It's for us as well. But maybe you need a fresh Bible, you know? And, you know, and I get it. You know, every January you try to do the Bible in a year plan. And by 3 weeks in, you're behind and you get depressed. And sadly, a lot of guys pretty much
quit.
They quit and they don't really read a lot more the rest of the year, except for preparing to preach.
I mean, all of us, I would say all of us, most of us have more than one study Bible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different. Yeah, yeah.
So what do you use on a regular basis?
Well, here's the truth. The one I try to mix it up. I try to get a different study Bible every few years. And the one I've actually been using is the Spurgeon study Bible.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome for preachers.
Because
Spurgeon looks at that text as a preacher would look at the text.
It's not an academic study Bible in any way. It's more getting the heart of Spurgeon. It's almost like you're reading the Bible with Spurgeon.
Right.
Honestly.
And again, it's like a preacher. He's looking at it from the standpoint
of a preacher. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's been really helpful. And then I would say, again, you know, our church does use the ESV. So the ESV study Bible is kind of a staple. They just did a really good job with that years ago. And so I usually have that handy. There's so many.
Well, here's
now.
What I've got. I've got the Spurgeon Study Bible,
yep.
The ESV Study Bible, the Holman Study Bible,
yep.
The Geneva Study Bible.
Come on.
I know. I got that.
That's awesome. I don't have that.
I do. I got that one. And I also have the Scofield Bible.
Dude, we're going old school.
Scofield. My first Bible I ever received when I was ordained in 1980, my mom and dad gave me a Scofield King James Bible.
That's awesome.
And I have that. I have another one. I bought a bright red Scofield Bible online the other day, and it's new old stock. It's from like 1965 or 70, something like that, but never really been opened. It's bright red.
No way.
Sometimes I carry it. Sometimes I use it at the pulpit.
They know you're there.
I just, you know, it reminds me. Look, when I was a teenager and a young man, if you were a Southern Baptist, you used the Scofield Study Bible.
That's just what you did.
It's just what you
did.
That's
what you did. Well, you know, Moeller, by the way, here's another one. I don't know. Give a shout out to Moeller. He just undertook a major project with NIV. It's a new NIV study Bible. I think it's called the Grace and Truth Study Bible, but he's the main dude behind it. And so anyway, that's another one. I don't have it, but I've heard it's excellent. So.
Okay, here's something that has been really impactful to my wife and then my daughter. She said her and her family read this all the time. I want to really encourage you. It's Lifeway, it's the Christ-centered exposition.
Huh.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Oh, come on. You haven't
heard
of it?
I know I have not. I don't think.
They're putting them out book by book by book. They don't have all 66 of them yet.
And so it's like a commentary?
Yeah, it's a commentary. And it's exposition on John is written by Matt Carter and Josh Wordberg and Tony Marita and Danny Aiken. So each one of these is edited or written by different Southern Baptists.
That's awesome.
Christ-centered exposition.
Oh, dude, are you talking about this series right there?
Yeah, that series right there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's gold.
It's gold.
I've got, like, that whole series.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
gold.
Oh, huh?
They're available on Logos. Yeah. You can get them on Logos.
No, good call. Good call. Yeah, at any reading level, really.
Any reading level. That's what I mean. I use it for sermon study. My wife loves to read them for devotionally, and my daughter just told me the other day that she and her family really enjoy them.
That's
so
awesome.
So if it's that broad,
I love it.
I want you to take. And you can buy them one at a time if you buy them like 12, 15 bucks, so you don't have to make a huge investment all at
massive.
Once.
Yeah.
So that would be a great one. Anything else, Kyle? What do
great
you got?
Call.
What are you reading,
great
Kyle?
Call. Great call.
Oh, here. Come on.
Here. Come around here and talk to the mic.
Kyle's reading. He's got a couple fun ones.
He is.
This morning he showed us.
What do you got, Kyle?
Why don't you bring the one,
Yeah, don't. Hey, y'all just do something else while Kyle gets together. No, he just bought a book at the Spurgeon Library.
Yeah.
Or he just took it from the Spurgeon Library, one or the other.
This is Spurgeon's
personal copy. He checked it out.
Copy.
You know, you come here, you can check out Spurgeon's personal books.
Yeah, you can.
You can check them out. Take them home with you.
So in the bookstore here at Midwestern, I came across this book called A Wondrous Mystery, Daily Advent Devotionals from Spurgeon, edited by Jeff Chang.
Oh,
really? Just came out this year.
That's awesome.
Brand new Christmas devotional. So
you did go get it signed.
I did. I literally,
you know
yes.
what?
And I'm going to get it signed by Chang also.
Yes.
I'm going to go get that today, and I'm going to get it signed by Jeff, and that's going to be a gift to my wife.
Yes.
That'll be
so
great.
Do it. I love Spurgeon, and I love Christmas. This is like
and
the
you
best
love
thing.
Jeff Chang.
And yes, absolutely. So
I've never seen Kyle more
Man,
excited about life.
He is pretty excited about it.
He made fun of me for going around and getting my book signed, but I'm unapologetic.
Good, bud. You should be.
Hey, while you're doing that, another book, I just gave it to another layman the other day because he's going to start leading some little vignettes in worship. I hate that term vignette, but anyway, you know what I mean. Sermonettes for Christianettes. Anyway, but it's great. It's Piper's book. You can actually get it free if you just Google and say PDF. You can download the whole book. 50 Reasons Jesus Came to Die. And Jesus came to die to give us a clear conscience. Jesus came to die to give us peace among one. They're like a page and a half
That's
each.
Awesome.
And if you've got to give a brief story about the gospel someplace, this is solid gold. Yeah. I mean, 50 Reasons Jesus Came to Die. You can buy the book or you can just download it for free from their website, a PDF. But I would highly recommend Pastor have that in their library because sometimes you're asked to, hey, could you give us a brief message?
Yes.
And man, it is the gospel. It is gold. It is about the cross. 50 Reasons Jesus Came to Die by John Piper.
One of my favorite ones I read this year is called Uncommon Greatness, Five Fundamentals to Transform Your Leadership by Mark Miller, who is he works for Chick-fil-A. He's one of their leadership guys. This one came out earlier this year as well. Man, great. Just great leadership for church leadership, business leadership, whatever. Fantastic book. And then one more that I really enjoyed. This is kind of a niche book, but it's called The Overlooked Americans, The Resilience of Our Rural Towns.
Dude, this
by
sounds good.
Elizabeth Currid Halkett. This lady grew up in rural Pennsylvania. Now she lives in L.A. So she is a self-proclaimed liberal elite.
Okay.
Right? But she grew up in a conservative small town, and she just takes a look at rural America, and it is very charitable, I think, and explains some of the divide that exists between urban and rural America, and really how even though we're different, we're not all that different, and people are people regardless. So this is a sociology book on rural America that I really found fascinating.
Awesome.
So
okay, sorry, I got one more, guys.
All right,
we'll land the plane.
All right.
But I've got to recommend this, Joyful Perseverance. First of all, isn't that a great title?
That's a great title.
Joyful Perseverance. The subtitle is Staying Fresh Through the Ups and Downs of Ministry, and it's by one of my favorite guys, Ajit Fernando. Do you know that name?
I do not.
He's written a couple commentaries. He's worked at Youth for Christ for like 50 years. And so he's older. He's coming to the end of his life. And he writes this book called Joyful Perseverance, basically looking back at how to remain faithful and steady in ministry. Pure gold, man. Pure gold. So anyway, there you go.
All right. Well, I didn't get a word in edgewise.
No, you didn't.
But I'll tell you real quickly, what I have gone back to my roots.
Yeah.
It just seemed like the Lord has been really working on me to let's go back and discover, you know, how are you now compared to your first love, you know, that sort of thing. And so a book my dad gave me many, many years ago called Jesus the Revolutionary, and I've gone back and picked that book out of the library again, started reading it by H.S. Vigevano. But I am a product of the Jesus movement.
Sure.
And so one of the things that I found, and I thought, oh, this is so exciting, is a book called The Christian World Liberation Front, which is the history of the Christian World Liberation Front. Most people think that the Jesus movement started with Chuck Smith and, you know, the chapel and all of that stuff. Not true. It actually started with the Christian World Liberation Front, who was already ministering in Haight-Ashbury, and leading hippies to Christ. Huh. And then out of that, these hippies needed a place to go, and that's where Chuck Smith kind of came in. But it was called the Christian World Liberation Front. If you want a history of the Jesus movement and where revival came from and why it happened.
That's awesome.
It's a great, great book.
Good deal.
All right, so that kind of wraps it up. Oh, and the other book, you know, I was telling these guys, you know, if it's not a comic book, I don't, you know.
Or a coloring book.
Yeah, I kind of am lost, you know. But
Ethel the Aardvark.
Is it a coloring book?
Goes quantity surveying.
Okay.
If you won't be disappointed.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.